I mean, yeah. It's Friday, so I got that going for me, which is nice. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. The Hub City Spartanburger text line is open for you this morning at 844-326-3663. You can use that number to shoot a text to the show. You can also use that number to call the radio broadcast, 844-326-3663, if you want to jump on board. Tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. Tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. Tweet everybody up in here at the Fan Upstate. You can jump at us on social media across the platforms of your choice at the Rob Brown Show. And of course, you can shoot me an email if you got something a little more long-winded and you don't want to come on the air, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. We have got Nate Gardner, head coach at North Greenville University, is going to be coming up at 8:20, so a little over an hour from now. Look forward to talking to him. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast going to join us at 8:40 this morning to talk a little Carolina Panther football. That will be his new time weekly moving forward. Rashad's going to join us on Fridays at 8:40. So look forward to talking a little Panther football later on in the radio program. But it's 7:02 in the morning, 57 minutes and some change before you've got to get to the office, before you've got to start talking sports instead of working like the good, productive employee you are. And when you get there, you got to know what's going on. If you need to know what's going on, don't you worry. We've got you covered, because every morning to open the 7 o'clock hour, we do this. It is indeed the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning. When you do, this is what you'll be talking about. Let's dive right in with item number one. As you know, because we've already talked about it this morning, the NBA draft came to its conclusion last night. We saw the final 30 picks of the night take place, and the local teams, I actually thought both Atlanta and Charlotte did relatively well. Atlanta only landed one player. That's Asa Newell, the forward guard out of Georgia. But they also picked up an unprotected first-round pick for next year for the draft rights to Derek Queen, the big man slash power forward out of Maryland. Atlanta received the first round pick from the New Orleans Pelicans next year. Should the Pelicans be bad? This is a bet. This is a gamble for both Atlanta and New Orleans. New Orleans is very clearly taking the gamble that they've got it right this offseason. Remember, they fired their GM. They went and got Joe Dumars, who did organize some playoff teams in Detroit. This is a gamble that he's going to come in and right the ship. They think they're going to be in the bottom half next year. On the flip side, Atlanta taking the gamble that the Pelicans are going to stink and be a lottery team again next year. Because regardless of where that pick ends up, Atlanta is getting it. In return, they only draft one guy. They obviously picked up, as we mentioned, Kristaps Porzingis in a trade right before the draft. So now they've got a 5 and they've got a 1-swing-2, which I think is a good landing spot for the Atlanta Hawks. For the Charlotte Hornets, Con Knipl with the number 4 overall pick. They also end up with McNeely, Sion James out of Duke, and Ryan Kalkbrenner out of Creighton. I really kind of like these spots. I didn't love the pick of Con Knipl, but Ace Bailey wasn't there, and I think there were some, Ace Bailey was passed on, but also Ace Bailey was kind of causing a little bit of drama coming into this draft. And it was that drama that dropped him down in a lot of teams' estimations. Looks like Charlotte was one of them. Instead, they go with Con Knipple, an efficient score at Duke. Not necessarily most electrifying score at Duke, but a very efficient score at Duke. A guy that when Cooper Flagg went down in the ACC tournament due to injury, Con Knipple picked up the slack and played well in the role of primary scorer for Duke. So that's an interesting grab. I really like the selection of Ryan Kalkbrenner at number 34. I think the guy's going to have to develop a little bit. He's also a young cat. They're going to have to put some muscle on him for his game that he played at Creighton to work at the National Basketball Association level. But they traded Mark Williams, their starting center from last year, opens up the floor for Kalkbrenner to contribute immediately. And Kalkbrenner is a really good pick and roll center, which with LaMelo Ball, I think, is a good spot to be in. So we're going to talk a lot more NBA draft because I believe we have like 2 more weeks until the NBA regular season starts.
I think that's it.
Yeah, something like that. So we'll talk more about that later on. Let's get to item number 2. I had hoped that the Atlanta Braves would take one of the final 2 against the New York Mets. Show me a little consistency. On one hand, going 5-2 against the Mets to open the season, if you'd have told me that preseason, I'd have said, pretty good start. Pretty good start. On the flip side, going 5-0 to start against the New York Mets and then just kind of dropping the ball in the final 2 games, honestly, a little bit disappointing, especially when you consider the circumstances under which the Atlanta Braves lost a 4-0 shutout L to the Mets yesterday. The Mets went with Griffin Canning as their starting pitcher, who has been very good this year, but he had to leave the game after just 2.2 innings of work. 1 hit, 3 strikeouts in those 2.2, but after a hit back up the middle, Canning was bouncing off the mound to get out of the way and suffered what we all now know as an Achilles injury. You could see that calf pop. We know what that injury is now. Griffin Canning had to leave the game. Warren steps in. He goes 2.1, 1 hit, 2 strikeouts. Nunez and Stanek came in for 2-1 respectively. No hits allowed. Diaz came in to close out the game through the 9th inning. Gave up 1 hit, struck out 1. The Braves racked up a grand total of just 3 hits against what effectively became a bullpen game for the New York Mets. That's one of the games that if you're throwing a bullpen game, you are effectively banking on, we think our offense can get it done today. The Braves looked like they were facing a full staple of Cy Young pitchers yesterday. A hit from Olsen, a hit from Ozuna, a hit from White. Nobody else touched the baseball. 30 at-bats, 3 hits, 0 for 4 with runners in scoring position. Grant Holmes, who, despite a 4-7 record, he did get tagged with the loss yesterday. 5 innings pitched, 6 hits, 2 runs both earned, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. Dodd came in, gave up 3 hits, 2 runs both earned in 1 inning, and that was enough for the Mets to get by. Atlanta will return home tonight to begin a 3-game weekend homestand against the Philadelphia Phillies. With the win, the Mets have now moved back into sole possession of first place in the NL East. The Braves are now 6 games below 500 and a full 10 games back of the Mets, 9.5 back of Philly for second place in the East. Not the way you wanted that series to end ultimately for Atlanta, but I said a few times leading up to this, you have 4 series remaining. You got Philly, you got Oakland, you got LA, you got the Angels, and you've got five. You got the A's and you got the Redbirds to wrap it up, all of them 3-game series. If the Braves are able to win every one of these series, or if they are able to sweep a series for every series that they lose, then I think I feel a lot better starting up the post All-Star break second half of the season. The issue is right now, I don't have any reason to believe that the Braves are going to be able to sweep or to outright win any of the series. We will update you when we return on what happens, because I will say I think this Phillies series has just gained a new level of importance. Philly is now a team that is in a fight for a wild card spot with Atlanta. If the Braves are going to be fighting for that last wild card spot, taking Philly and putting them behind you by the end of the season would be a big ask. But if they're going to do that, I think they got to take two out of the three at home against Philly. We'll talk more about that when we get back on Monday and probably later on in the show as an addendum to item number two. Our first two All-Stars have been named. They do go ahead and name the first two starters based on the fan voting from the first round. Those two are, to the shock and surprise of exactly no one who follows baseball, Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. Judge led the major leagues with 4 million plus votes in the first round of fan balloting. Ohtani topped the National League with 3.96 million votes from across the United States. He is the first designated hitter to start in 5 consecutive All-Star games. The pair were selected under the rules that began in 2022, which gives starting spots to the top vote getter in each league in the first phase of online voting, which began on June 4th and ended yesterday. Two finalists at every other position advance to the second phase, which opens up Monday and runs until July 2nd. Votes from the first phase do not carry over, so we will be able to enter our All-Star votes, if you're into that sort of thing, starting up on Monday. There are 7 Dodgers that advance to the second phase, 3 Cubs, Tigers, and Mets, 2 from the Guardians, Yankees, and Blue Jays. Everybody else has 1 nomination on there. Again, we will talk more about the All-Star game as we move closer to it. I did arrive at a decision about how I am going to treat the All-Star game when I am over in Atlanta for All-Star week. Coming up in, 3 weeks from now? A little less than 3 weeks from now. And I will address that coming up here in a few minutes on the show, because you guys took great interest in whether or not I'm going to be financially irresponsible. We'll talk about that coming up here in a little while. But let's get to item number 3. I've kind of bounced around a lot, and I landed on this, that I don't really know that this is ordinarily something that I would have said is water cooler cheat sheet material. But considering the conversation around this cat has been hot and heavy enough that even active NBA players are weighing in on it, I did decide to make it its own item because I do think it is a very interesting topic of conversation for a couple of different reasons. Ace Bailey, guard out of Rutgers, we talked about him at length because Ace Bailey is the one who was making the lead up to the draft very interesting. Ace Bailey was refusing workouts with certain teams. Ace Bailey was rejecting invitations to meet with the administration of certain teams. It was very, very reported on that the Philadelphia 76ers, who had the 3rd overall pick in the draft, invited Ace Bailey to dinner with their general manager and owner, and Ace Bailey straight up told him no. We learned a new bit of information yesterday as he was selected 5th overall by the Utah Jazz, a team that it was made known during the broadcast was not a preferred landing destination of Ace Bailey. Apparently, he wanted to end up with New Orleans, Washington, or Brooklyn later on in the draft. But Utah said, all right, cool, but we don't have to let you do that, and went ahead and drafted him. And this is going to be an interesting experiment. Yesterday, we learned that Ace Bailey's agent was calling teams, at least one, inside the top 5 and saying that if you draft Ace Bailey, he's not going to show up. He will not report. Ace Bailey was asked on Wednesday after being drafted what he would say to people who didn't believe he was happy winding up with the Jazz. And for the second time in as many days, he gave the exact same answer that he gave a few days before that when he was called to the carpet about about not going to meet the 76ers. They said, Ace, why didn't you accept the dinner invitation? Even if you don't want to play there, don't you at least have the conversation? And he said, I can only control what I can control. And a reporter said, going to dinner, that's not within your control? And he said, I can only control what I can control, which is playing basketball. Yeah, except for he was absolutely not trying to control that. He was asked about his feelings on being drafted by Utah, despite it not being one of his preferred destinations. And he said, quote, I can only control what I can control. People feel how they feel. But my team and me focusing on basketball and them doing what they're doing, it happens, end quote. Very interesting. So this is going to be interesting because the Utah Jazz have taken a risk. Do you trust?
Didn't he control what he could control? He controlled not going to dinner. That's control.
He did. You're right.
I decide I'm not going to dinner. I just controlled the situation.
You're absolutely right. He did control who he had dinner with leading up to the draft. That is part of the reason that I kind of made fun of what it was that he had to say. That's kind of why I made fun of his response there. Because the reality is, he did control what he could control. And that includes who I am and am not going to spend time with in the lead up to the draft. It's kind of a joke. So Utah is rolling the dice that this kid, who was very clearly trying to get himself landed where he wanted to go, not get landed by somebody that he did not want to play for. Utah is very clearly rolling the dice that the kid is going to show up and he's going to go, all right, maybe I don't want to be here, but at the end of the day, I'm drafted to an NFL team and I got to go out there and I got a ball so I can get up out of here with a good contract later. Or Ace Bailey's going to show up and he's going to go, yeah, this sucks. I don't want to be here. I don't like it here. This isn't where I want to play ball. I'm going to half-ass it until my rookie contract is over. Or he just doesn't report at all. Does he go overseas and play? I doubt it. We'll see. Or the third option, as Jacob just pointed out in the stream, the third option is Ace Bailey is being manipulated by the people who are going to try to make money off of him. Is it possible that the agent went, look, Ace, you're going to make more money if you're in New York City? Or if you are the star down in New Orleans, you're going to be able to make more money. So let's go out there and try to manipulate this draft. I don't know which of those is the answer. That's why that story is so interesting to me. Ace's agent telling teams at least one inside the top five, if you draft this kid, he's not coming to play for you. He will not show up. It's going to be an interesting first year for Ace Bailey. Going to be an interesting story to follow 2 weeks from now when the NBA season starts up. It's not 2 weeks from now. It just feels like it. All right, when we come back, I got a couple of things I want to get to. Number one, I have made my decision about the All-Star game in Atlanta coming up here in a couple of weeks. I want to talk to you about that. And then I posted a video about the Coastal Carolina Kevin Schnall ejection. I don't know how it went viral in Louisiana, but the LSU fans are after me right now. Was my take bad? Because they're making me think maybe my take was bad. I don't think it was bad, but I'm gonna tell you what they said and get your reaction coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game is the same week as the SEC Media Days over in Atlanta, Georgia. We will be live on the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th from SEC Media Days in Atlanta, Georgia. The show will emanate live from the College Football Hall of Fame all 4 days. We are currently waiting for the itinerary. We know what schools are coming on what days. South Carolina will be one of the schools that open SEC Media Days on Monday. I do have a request in to get buddy of the show, Shane Beamer, back on live and in person, as well as a request in for whichever players are going to be attending with Shano on that Monday. As soon as we get confirmed who is coming on the show and when, if they're coming on the show, etc., I will let you all know. But we will be there all 4 days, regardless of how that shapes up to cover the SEC Media Days. But when I am in Atlanta, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game will be taking place as well. The Home Run Derby, which Ronald Acuna Jr. Yesterday said he will be taking part in is on Monday. The All-Star game itself is on Tuesday. So when I found out that I would be in Atlanta when the All-Star game is taking place, I stumbled into a decision that I did not know I was going to have to make. And that is, do I attend my first Major League Baseball All-Star game? Going to an All-Star game is something that I have wanted to do, obviously, as a baseball kid, since I was a kid. I've always wanted to go to an All-Star game. I've never gotten to go to an All-Star game. So I looked up tickets to the Major League Baseball All-Star game. To sit in that stadium, scratch that. The cheapest ticket is to stand in that stadium. A standing room only ticket to the MLB All-Star game is checking in at about $475. Now, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I have told you all many times, I will do whatever I need to do to go to a live sporting event that I want to go to. I have found my exception, which is standing room only at professional games. You ever seen the SRO at Cowboys games, for instance? Legitimately, I feel like I would end up probably committing various acts of assault if I got herded into cattle, into a cattle pen.
Have a section like that, I think.
I have no, I mean, they do. You can stand on the hill, yeah, right? Yeah. But I think that's predominantly college kids. I think the college kids have access to that. I can also tell you that there is a difference to me in standing room only where, like, I can be on the hill and it's ramped, so you know, like, you're not going to be stuck behind somebody. You can sit on the hill, still see the football field, whatever. A lot of the pro stadiums that have standing room only, they're literally just, like, open flat walkway. So if you're not one of the first people in the building, or you're not an exceptionally tall person who is no further than three or four rows back, like, you're fighting to see anything happen. You're going to spend the majority of the game watching the game up on the Jumbotron. And while I think it would be awesome to be in the building for the All-Star game, I do not think it would be awesome to be in the building looking out to center field to watch the majority of the game on the Jumbotron.
How much is it to get in for the Home Run Derby?
For the Derby SRO, I want to say that clocked in at like 325. And that's standing room only. And oh, by the way, not out in the outfield where it's like, okay, standing room only, but like guys are going to be hitting dongs out here, right? Like that's behind home plate, standing room only. It's like over $300. So then I looked up actual tickets. The cheapest you can get in to sit in the 400 section on the foul line in the upper decks, way past third base. You are not in foul ball territory. You are not in home run territory. And you are as far away from both home plate and the field as you can possibly be in a seat. For the All-Star, for the Home Run Derby, that's about $400, $425.
What service did you use?
All of them.
Okay.
I mean, you're welcome to go verify and see if you can find a cheaper ticket.
I was going to say, if you went with one, I was going to try another. I was just curious.
I looked around. The cheapest I'm getting into the All-Star game to sit in the upper deck 400s against the railing in the back, as far away from both home plate and the field as you can get, you're looking at north of $500. So I asked you guys last week, do I be financially irresponsible and spend that money? Do I say I'm not doing anything else over the summer time and blow my summer recreational budget on being in the stadium for Major League Baseball's All-Star game?
There's a ticket for $4,300.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Do an All-Star game.
So I said, for $216, though.
Standing room only?
No, I don't think so. Let me click on it.
Yeah, I need to know where that ticket is because that I'm doing like...
It is. You're right.
Yeah,
it
thought is. So. Okay. I'm not doing standing room only. All right, that is one place I'm drawing a hard line. I have zero interest because in order to do that, number one, you got to be one of the first people in the stadium. Then you got to run to the SRO spot to get to the railing. Then you can't move, right? Because there's no, hey, guys, I'm going to go grab a beer. Will you hold my spot?
By the way, this standing room only is in the outfield, though.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, I thought the SRO was only behind the plate. Still, not doing it. Not doing it, especially not for the Derby, because I swear to you, the first time a grown-ass adult with a baseball glove jumps in my face, I am Shaquille O'Neal-ing that guy. All right? I'm wrecking him. So, no thanks. I'm not getting into the All-Star game itself for less than $500. So I asked y'all, do I be financially irresponsible? Do I do effectively nothing else this summertime and blow my summer recreational budget on being in the stadium? And that's a legitimate question. I was really thinking about it, and I've come to a decision, Zoe. I can't do it. I can't do it. I cannot go $500-plus dollars to sit.
By the way, I don't blame you. I don't blame you for coming to that decision, but you know, it's not like it's World Series. If it was World Series and Atlanta was in the World Series and you were going to pay that kind of money,
yeah,
I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, if it's the World Series and Atlanta's in it, $500, no questions asked. I'll sell something, all right? My blood, whatever. I'll sell something. An organ. You can live with just one kidney. I'll drop a kidney for a World Series ticket to see the Bravos play. That's fine. It's an All-Star game. And oh, by the way, it's an All-Star game. Deck and I had this conversation on the show on Saturday because Decker's all in. He's like, dude, you got to go. You got to go. It's in your stadium. You're going to be there anyway. Your hotel's already paid for. You don't even have to worry about accommodations. You got to go. He goes, think about it this way. If you were going to go to that game and this was something that you really wanted to do and you weren't going to be there for SEC Media Days, he said, think about this. You'd be looking at well north of $1,500 for that whole experience. So I was like, all right, that's honestly, that's a really good call. Maybe this is the right call. Maybe I go. Like, maybe I go. Then I looked at it, and after I looked at it, I was like, nah, I can't do it. As much as I want to.
What's the most you've ever paid for a ticket?
Saints-Falcons, that first Monday Night Football game after Katrina. I think I went $260 for that ticket to be in the building for Monday Night Football.
So you're wanting to pay twice as much to go see an All-Star game?
No, I'm unwilling to pay twice as much to go see an All-Star game. I was willing to pay $260 to get back into the Superdome for my football team. And I'm not saying that, you know, I love the Saints more than the Braves. I do. As much as I love the Braves, I'm a Saints above all else guy. But that obviously had a huge emotional impact to it too, right? Like, we thought we were losing the team. We thought the dome was going to get knocked down. We thought we weren't going to have the Saints anymore. So that almost felt like a, let me go prove to the ownership, let me go prove to the NFL that, like, we got great fans. This team is worth keeping in New Orleans. Felt like the right call for me. I guess, and I told Cody Decker this, and he told me that I was a bad fan because of it. I said, I just don't think I have, and I don't think I have the commitment to my team to go watch probably one guy play in the All-Star game, right? Like, yeah, it's in our stadium, but there's one Brave that's going to be out there more than likely. Chris Sale would probably go, but the fractured ribs, he can't and won't. Acuna's going to go because he's Ronnie and you got to have one. Who else are you going to go? Like, what else are you going to do? I'm not doing. TX Experience just texted the show. He said, standing rooms only. You can get it $200. And even on the site, I always use with no tax, no fees. TX Experience, yeah, I saw that, but I cannot do $200 to stand in a crowd of humanity and also not be able to move if I want to be able to see what I just paid $200
to
go see.
You're talking about your players for your team. But Otani's going to be there, right?
No, and listen, I absolutely want to go see Shohei Otani play. But I also told Cody Decker, I could have gone, and granted, it was a weekday series. I could have gone to Atlanta 3 weeks ago. The Dodgers were here. They were playing the Dodgers. Now, granted, Cody Decker, when I told him that, he goes, yeah, but you get to see Otani and Aaron Judge, and it's like every great player of the game. And it's like, true, but with intra-league play, I could theoretically go see all of those guys. $500 would get me into like 7 Atlanta Braves games, right? So do I not just keep that money and just go see a bunch of Braves games over the summer? I could go every Sunday to every Braves home game.
That's what you should do, for sure.
And that's what I think I'm likely to do. I don't think I can do north of $500 for a seat in that stadium to the All-Star game. I think I'm more likely to say, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take $100 to the bar and watch the game on a huge TV that night. I can go to the Battery. I can go to the park and just watch it outside the park. Drop $100, have a great night, and Uber back to the hotel and feel real good about my life. Am I a bad fan? I just can't bring myself to drop $500 on a ticket that is way the hell up, way the hell out in the top left of the 400s, where Shohei Ohtani's going to be an ant from where I'm sitting, to watch a game where, oh, by the way, Shohei Ohtani's going to have one at bat. You know what I mean? Like, even though it's the greatest players, they're all going to bat one, two times before their reserve comes in to play the back half of the game. Am I going to watch Tarek Skubal throw one inning? Is that enough for me in an exhibition game where you know he's not going up? Like, I don't know. I can't bring myself to go north of $500 for that. Am I a bad baseball fan or a good Braves fan or a bad Braves fan? I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I'm struggling with this. Speaking of struggling, I posted a take on Monday about the ejection of Kevin Schnall, the head coach of Coastal Carolina, from Game 2 of the College World Series. That somehow found its way viral in Louisiana, and the LSU fans are on me, dog. I'm going to read you and try my best to censor correctly some of the comments LSU fans have left and see if you guys agree with them or me. Was it a dumb take? No. Or was I right? Yes. We'll do that when we come back. Rob Alonso and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. So, you may remember on Monday, your boy was a little hot up under the collar because of the ejection of the head coach of the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, Kevin Schnall, from Game 2, an elimination game of the College World Series Finals. I was ticked off. I thought that was an overreaction. I thought that the umpire went too far. I thought he put a blemish on an otherwise really good baseball series. LSU had won game one. LSU also in that spot won that game by one run. Like, this had the opportunity to be a very good second baseball game. It had an opportunity to be a very good series. So we got to game two. And Kevin Schnall did, I acknowledge, did come out of the dugout, was arguing, scratch that. I do not agree that he was arguing balls and strikes. I am going to believe what Kevin Schnall said in his post-game press conference, which was he and his coaching staff caught a warning from the umpire. He did not know what the warning was for. He came out of the dugout to find out what they had caught a warning for. The umpire said it's for arguing balls and strikes. He said, well, that's because you've missed three already. The umpire, quite literally, like with the hand motion and everything, shooed him back to the dugout, which aggravated Kevin Schnall, which, let's be honest, if a grown man shoes you, you're going to get ticked off too.
All right, this has bothered me the entire time, because what if he's trying to tell, hey man, get back in there so you don't get kicked out? Maybe it's not, I'm shooing a grown man. Maybe it's like, you know when you got a really good friend and you're walking around and you get ready to do something and you kind of do this, like don't do that, you know, that sort of thing?
Yeah, except they're not really good friends. That, right? Like, I get that, but in the context you're giving me,
the umpire might have been trying to protect him from getting kicked out by trying to shoo him back in,
then,
and he took it as an affront to his manhood.
Then as the umpire, you say, get out or I'm going to run you. You walk over there and you go, dude, if you stay out here, I'm going to run you.
Was the guy who shooed him the same guy who fell?
No. That's a different guy.
Right. So
different guy.
So that's what I'm saying. The one guy's like, dude, get back in there before you
keep in mind.
And the other guy fell and ran him.
No. He had already been run when the guy fell. He had already gotten run. The umpire tossed him from that spot. He tossed the first base coach later on after that. Two guys got tossed. He got tossed. He's good. If I recall correctly,
No. He fell. Then he got up and kicked him out.
Okay. Either way. And oh, by the way, that guy falling, absolute joke. By the way, somebody yesterday did the deep dive. Not yesterday. Sorry. Tuesday. I keep thinking it's Monday when we're having this conversation. The deep dive. The home plate umpire used to be a Major League Baseball umpire. They kicked him out of the league. Do you know why? Because of the extended history of premature runnings from the game. I almost said something really bad there. Premature ejection. See, then I did it to myself. I did it to myself. I did it to myself. I was going to make the joke. Then I didn't want to make the joke. Then I was going to say ejection. Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's a Friday. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. Kevin Schnall got run. I thought it was weak. I thought it was soft. So I took from that segment, and I'm going to play you the video, the short social media video I posted on Facebook. And it is because it is apparently gone viral in Louisiana. I don't know why. That's what the metrics are telling me and the responses I'm getting. Here is the video, just the audio from the video that I posted, and then I want to read you some of the comments I'm getting. I didn't push the right speaker button again. No, that was on me. Let me get that corrected so that you can all hear this. Soft, ego driven, BA umpire with a capital B and a capital A. The biggest B and the biggest A. You can't do that. Letter of the law and spirit of the law both need a context. And the context of running the head coach of a national championship team, because he had the audacity to challenge you win, by the way. He was right. I don't know that having Kevin Schnall would have saved Coastal Carolina. What I do know is they weren't winning without him. I'm not saying they would have for certain beat LSU, but they damn sure weren't beating LSU and forcing a decisive game three without him. Or you know when you get past the point of anger and you're just in white hot rage to the point that you don't yell anymore? You talk like this. I was talk to myself angry. You ever been talk to yourself angry? This is the angriest I've been at sports in a long time. I have to assume Kevin Schnall came on the field and described in great detail gratuitous acts of a sexual nature that he engaged with the umpire's mom. Like, that's the only thing I can come up with that would have appropriately got him run. What I saw was him saying, "You missed three calls." Phew, gone. He got run because he called the guy out for being bad at his job, and Angel Campos got his feelings hurt.
Okay, so two things about that video. Number one.
Are you going to address?
Yep, okay. I am.
Because if not, I got to say something. All
I
right.
am. Don't worry. Number one, when you're making a social media video that you're going to post, make sure you listen to it. Because what happened there is, in order for your video to go into Instagram's Reels, they have to be 90 seconds or shorter. They actually have to be 1 minute 29 seconds at longest. And that video, when I was done making it, was like a minute 33, and I could not find the extra 4 seconds to cut out. So I was like, oh, I can just speed this up. It won't be that bad. Because when I do my audio editing for the commercials that, you know, our daily commercials, our daily promos that run, hey, listen tomorrow when we talk about X, Y, and Z. If those are a second long or so, I can speed them up, add some bass to them, and it basically makes me talk even faster than I already do, but it doesn't change the tone of the voice. I did this at the house while the wifey was taking a nap one day, and I did not have the volume up, and now I just realized that I made myself sound like a freaking chipmunk. All right? So, my bad. Which, the comment that showed up on the thread yesterday that said, I'll never listen to this show. This guy has the most annoying voice I've ever heard in my life. I responded to that guy. I'm like, buddy, it's just a voice. Maybe relax. And now that I've actually played that at volume, I'm like, oh. Okay, now, point number two. This take, apparently, hooray that it was this video. This take apparently caught traction down in Louisiana at some point on Wednesday. Because this video is now sitting on 6,000 views and reactions. It is, so far, I think the second most viewed and reacted to social media video that I have put up in 2025. I had one a few days ago that went to like 10K. This one's at 6. And the arguments or not arguments from some of the Louisiana folks that have sent me comments and messages are hilarious. I've been called a bleeping loser. I have been told that I am a dumb, biased son of a
a couple of times. Chris said, no one agrees with you and no one even knows who you are, man. I had another guy who said, you have the most annoying voice. You bleeped me off in 15 seconds of this video, which, okay, now I understand now. One guy said, you are way too over the top. You don't know the game, which that one kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. One said, where was the good one? There was one that was really good. I mean, just straight up, like to the bone. I got busted up by the LSU fans for this. About 115 comments worth of getting busted up, telling me, let me go. One guy, and I did appreciate this because I've told you the reason I do this job was a guy who used to do Saints games back in the day named Buddy DiLiberto. And he used to, when he was really mad about the Saints, he would call whoever he was mad at a squirrel. That was his insult. And this damn squirrel. Like it was, I don't know why it was so funny and still is. One guy, I almost wanted to reach out and be like, hey man, we're on the same page. Because he called me a squirrel in the comment. And I was like, I get it. I know where you're coming from.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with it. You kind of sound like a squirrel, dude.
I did in that video. Guy named Matt said, what's that saying? A condom could have prevented this? Talking about me, which might be my favorite insult I've ever gotten on the radio.
I'm disappointed because these are all like 8, 9-year-old, 10-year-old people commenting. That's what it sounds like.
I mean, I'm not totally disagreeing. But the point is, there's a few hundred comments.
I want an intellectual burn. Are there any on those?
No, not really.
Yeah, okay.
Not really. But I got roasted pretty good. And my question is, as somebody who, and I'm not saying this on the Facebook stream or on the Facebook commentary, but the thought that I had was, I said going into this game, I grew up a LSU fan because my family's from Louisiana, and the fraction of my family intelligent enough to go to college went to LSU, so I grew up an LSU fan. I obviously went to a different school in Florida. Shout out UWF, go Argos. So I'm LSU adjacent, I guess. But also, had Coastal won that, it would have been real fun for us to come in here and throw a little baby party for the Chanticleers. And also, to listen to the people when you say, Coastal Carolina has a better baseball program than Clemson and South Carolina do. Right? Funsies all around. So I didn't say that. I really thought that was a neutral and unbiased take, that you cannot run the head coach for a slight violation of your fifis in the national championship elimination game. I thought that was a pretty neutral take. I thought that was a pretty gray take. I thought that was a pretty right down the middle take. And I got busted up on it for saying that, including, as I mentioned a minute ago, a guy who started his response with, and I quote, you. Like, that's how he started his commentary. The first two words were, you. And then, of course, I went and looked, and he's from, like, Bowbridge, Louisiana, which, cool, that makes sense. But my question is, with a couple of days now to digest what happened, and again, this isn't like, this isn't a story because I know there's a ton of Coastal Carolina fans in the audience. This isn't something I am hanging on because I'm like all cracked up that, you know, somebody, whatever. This is a story because it hinges on what I have been saying for years now. Part of the reason that I am so pro Robo-Ump is because I feel like we have allowed baseball to bend the knee to the most emotional and overreactive group of people on planet Earth, umpires. Like, I thought that ejection was Charmin soft. I thought that ejection was absolute garbage. I thought that ejection was a waste. I thought that ejection was dumb. I thought it was a dumb ejection. I thought it, especially in the first inning, I thought it flat out ruined what should have been a great moment in that game. Like, flat out ruined what should have been a phenomenal game and a phenomenal finish to that series. And instead, we spent the rest of the game dialed in on that moment and that ejection. And I just looked at it and went, that moment ruined to me that game and that series of the best postseason in sports. It took what was an incredible 3-week run from the regionals to the, from the conference tournaments to the regionals to the supers to Omaha. It took all of that. And in one moment of bad decision making from a couple of umpires, it just took all the wind out of the sails. But as this thing has picked up traction on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, etc., it seems like a large group of people, and I will acknowledge that based on the map that showed, the heat map of where this thing is getting the most views and plays, it's mostly Louisiana people. So was it a bad take? Are they right? I'm wrong. What is the vibes here? Because I'm in a spot where I've been bashed and busted up so much that for like 2 seconds yesterday, I kind of questioned, like, okay, am I maybe emotionally? I'm a vulnerable, sensitive man.
Maybe.
Was I emotionally overreacting because that is my favorite postseason? Because I do stand on the hill that college baseball is a sport that deserves way more love and attention than it gets. Or am I defending Coastal because they're the little engine that could? Nobody believe. I believe they could be there. I had a ticket on them to win a title, but you get the point. Like, where did I go too far with that take, or did it make sense? Jacob said, Rob, respectfully, you of all people should know that LSU fans can be unhinged. Oh, they absolutely are. The guy who opened his comment to me with, you, I responded back, dude, over a sports take? Seriously, relax. You're the reason everybody thinks LSU fans are obnoxious. I agree. Even as somebody who is related to and loves many an LSU fan in my own family, I also acknowledge they can go way too far. And I guess that's part of the reason that I'm asking y'all, is that, like, with a couple of days of hindsight to look back at it, was that a bad take? Was that a homer take? Or the LSU fans, do they have a point? 844-326-3663 is the number. 844-FANFONE. If you want to get at us, give me your thoughts on that. When we come back, let's talk a little bit of college and pro football to open up the 8 o'clock hour. Then we will have Nate Gardner, the head coach at NGU, on. Then Rashad Beard. Now, the great one, Lonzo.
The New York Mets took a 4-0 shutout win over Atlanta last night to split a four-game series. Grant Holmes gave up 6 hits and 2 runs over 5 innings, striking out 6. Atlanta had just 3 hits on the night, none of them for extra bases, and went 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position. Atlanta gets Philly at home for 3 games starting tonight. Charlotte Hornets opened up the second day of the draft with a pair of picks at 32 and 33. They opened by drafting Sion James out of Duke, a 6'5 forward perimeter player. Then the Buzz took Ryan Cockelbrenner, a 7'1 big man from Creighton. You try saying it. Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani are the first two players selected for the July 15th All-Star Game in Atlanta. The two led Major League Baseball with over 3.9 million votes in fan voting each. It's the 7th All-Star selection for Judge and 5th for Ohtani.